The federal opposition is taking the government to task today over its failure to push for an increase in oil production at the OPEC meeting in Saudi Arabia. 2 weeks ago, the Prime Minister said that the only way to significantly cut petrol prices was for OPEC to boost supply, and that countries should apply a blowtorch to the oil cartel. But there's no indication that Australia's Energy Minister applied that pressure at the weekend meeting. In Canberra, Alexandra Kirk reports.
Spiralling petrol prices spell trouble for the government. The Prime Minister's answer has been his Fuel Watch scheme and getting the big oil producers to increase supply. Earlier this month, Kevin Rudd said leading nations should apply a blowtorch to the crude oil cartel OPEC. OPEC's been meeting in Saudi Arabia. Resources and Energy Minister Martin Ferguson was there but didn't push for increased production.
The Australian government correctly argued, and it was recognised by the Jeddah Conference, that the cause of the spike in oil prices in recent times goes to the issue of the operation of the market and supply and demand.
But you haven't asked for a direct increase in the oil price.
Australia has correctly called for an increase in production. That was recognised by the announcement of the Saudis in recent days. But when you go to the issue of increasing production, it also goes to questions of demand. We have also argued that countries have to look at the issue of subsidies, which is propping up demand at the moment, which goes to increasing the supply of oil in the global community. And we appreciate that no single country on its own can resolve these problems.
The opposition's been quick to pounce. Environment spokesman Greg Hunt says the government over-promised and under-delivered.
They promised a blowtorch, they delivered a feather. The OPEC countries will say, who was that?
Liberal backbencher Wilson Tuckey thinks Mr Rudd's idea was silly.
Apparently, Martin Ferguson was too sensible, I repeat sensible, to repeat his leader's idea that he could put the blowtorch on OPEC.
Martin Ferguson's office says the minister strongly argued for an increase in oil production through the ease of foreign investment restrictions within major producing nations and improved market data transparency. Too many countries, he says, are embracing economic rationalism and preventing investment in stranded oil reserves. But opposition frontbencher Steve Chobo says it's clear the government isn't doing anything to bring down fuel prices.
What we know is that Martin Ferguson was in Saudi Arabia over the weekend talking about the need for us to increase oil supply into Australia to bring down prices. What's clear, though, as part of their five-point plan, is that the Rudd Labor government is in fact not doing anything to bring down petrol prices. And to make matters worse, when it comes to Fuel Watch, what we actually know is that small independent fuel retailers will actually struggle under Fuel Watch.
Fuel Watch is also already in Senator-elect Nick Xenophon's sights. The No Pokies Independent takes up his Senate seat on the 1st of July and is signalling the government will have to tweak its petrol price watch scheme to get his backing. To get its legislation through the Senate, Labor needs the support of all five Green senators, plus Family First's Steve Fielding and Nick Xenophon.
I advocated Fuel Watch as a state MP when I scratched below the surface. It didn't have the benefits that it purported to. I want consumers to have better information, but the way Fuel Watch is currently structured, I don't think it'll do that. So I'll be looking at substantial amendments to Fuel Watch at the very least, and a broader look at the wholesale fuel market and the way the big oil companies operate in this country.
The government's also grappling with a prediction from a joint CSIRO Australian National University analysis that it will need to give almost $200 a year back to average Australian households if it wants to ensure they won't be worse off when an emissions trading scheme starts in 2010. Liberal MP Dennis Jensen predicts the compensation bill will be much bigger.
I think that would be that the average Australian household would be very lucky to be seeing $1,000 change. A change from $1,000 from a carbon trading scheme.
There's no sign yet from the government that it's put its mind to how it plans to deal with the new Senate landscape. Greens leader Bob Brown says he looks forward to sitting down with the government before Parliament sits again at the end of August, when the Australian Democrats will have disappeared from the federal political scene. After more than three decades, they're finished as a federal political force, having failed to get any senators elected last November. But leader Lynn Allison wants to capitalise on the re-emergence of environmental politics as she heads out the Senate door. She's already talking about a new Green Party that could rise phoenix-like from the Democrats' ashes.
Look, it may well be the end for the Democrats as we know it. My expectation is that Democrats will re-emerge as a new entity. We are talking with other parties right now, and I expect that there will be, in the not-too-distant future, an announcement about what shape that'll take.
Greens?
Not with the Greens, no. We're talking with the Climate Change Coalition and a couple of other smaller non-major parties.
Will there be a new name for this party?
Yes, there'll be a new name.
No more Australian Democrats.
Well, I think it's unlikely. I don't think you can come back as a new entity in a different form but have the same name.
Bob Brown thinks it's a great idea.
All strengths of their arm. In a democracy, we need more, not fewer options for voters.
But Family First Steve Fielding says there's already plenty of environmental concern in the Senate.
Well, look, we're all for the environment. Tell me who's not.
That's the Family First Senator Steve Fielding, ending Alexandra Kirk's report.